She's laughing. Okay, so we're going to say it's a combination of lesson number 82 and 83, starting with the pelvic clock, and then moving into lesson 83, which is called the clock of abdominal muscles. And today is November 23rd, 2016. So please go ahead and lie down on your back, as we always do, beginning lying on your back. Taking a moment to notice how you're lying on your back today. How your shoulder blades are resting. How your pelvis is resting. Draw into your awareness those four points or four dots that we've been putting. One behind each shoulder blade and one behind the center of each buttock cheek. And once you have those four dots, then you draw lines to connect the dots and you have a rectangle. Right? And that's going to be the second clock that we're going to move into. So if you can get a sense of that square or rectangle, right? And then you're going to make that rectangle into a circle. Right? So if you make it into a circle, the area in between your shoulder blades stays the same, and the area in between your buttocks, cheeks, those are like the straight parts. And then the round parts come outside of your body, right, to make it a circle. It can't, otherwise it would be oblong, right? It'd look like a pill. So we're making a circle. Can you hear me, Jane? So it's what we've been doing. I know you've been here where we've done the four dots, right? A dot behind each shoulder blade, dot, you make a rectangle. And then from that rectangle, you're gonna make a circle. So this part of the rectangle, this line stays, this stays, and then you draw outsides become like rounder. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay. 12 o'clock is going to be the area in between the shoulder blades. Okay, so how I personally like to do this is I imagine, and I always imagine a clock from school. Some of the clocks here in the gym are like that, right? Right, the old-fashioned, just big black numbers, right? White background clock. I like those clocks, right? You can read the numbers. I always put the clock on the ceiling. Okay, that's me. Okay, so 12 o'clock is again this area in between the shoulder blades. I mean, 6 o'clock is the area in between the buttocks cheeks, the tailbone. Now, some people like to lie on the clock. You can lie on the clock too. Just make sure you know where 12 and 6 is. So we're going to start, I'm cluing you in with this abdominal clock. We're going to start with that, and then we're going to shift to the pelvis, and then we'll come back up. Make sense? Everybody got their clock? So again, you can either lie on the clock, you can have the clock on the ceiling, just as long as you've got 12 o'clock in between the shoulder blades and 6 o'clock down where the pelvis and tailbone is, right? Does that make sense that 3 o'clock is the curve out to the right side and 9 o'clock is the curve to the left? Are we all good? Does that make sense, Barb? You're questioning it.
No, but if you're lying on your left, it's on the opposite side.
Okay. I think, you know, I think for me, I just like the way my visual way works is if I'm looking at a clock. And this is how a clock goes, right? So that's, but if you flop it, that's fine. Just know when I say to go to 3 o'clock where you're going and 9 o'clock. Okay. Everybody's got their clock. Okay, so let's start by bending your knees and bringing your feet to standing. And make sure that when you bring your feet to standing that your heels are lined up with your buttock cheeks, right? So your feet aren't too far away, they're not too close together, right? Each heel's right under each buttock cheek. So some of you, that's it. Bring your feet a little closer to support you and don't have the feet together, okay? And then you're gonna interlace your hands and place your hands behind your head. So interlace your hands behind your head. Head, hands. I need to get you a hearing aid.
I know.
But then I need to have you move because then I'm yelling. Okay, so hands behind your head. Fold your elbows towards the ceiling. You always do that when your hands are behind your head, right? To hold your head. And let's just start with that. So you're going to lift your head very gently as if to look towards the space in between your knees. Right, you're not doing a sit-up, so you're not looking towards the ceiling, folks. You're looking towards the space in between your knees. And then you put your head back down. So what else should be occurring? You should be lifting on your exhale. So when you exhale, the chest is emptied, and you feel, the moment you lift your head, your abdominals kick in. So what is lifting your head? Your abdomen, not your neck. Okay, so you need to feel and pay attention. So your stomach pulls in. Slow it down. We're not doing sit-ups. Take a pause in between each one so you do it right. Okay, now, pause for a moment. Keep your hands there. The next movement is you're going to lift your head and you're going to keep it up and you're going to lift your pelvis at the same time. Okay, so you lift your head and lift your pelvis. So guess what? No, not your legs, Lynn, your pelvis. All the weight goes to the middle of the clock. Your butt's in the air and your head. So bring all the weight to the middle of the clock. That is where the two hands connect. Right? In the center of a clock. You need that area, the center of the clock, so you know where the hands are. So lift your head and pelvis and hold it. Hold it. Get comfortable there on your exhale, then take a breath in. You don't have to move. You can take a breath in and you can exhale again there. Don't be in a hurry. You'll find that working your abdominals is not connected to your breathing. Now you can rest. Oh, that was a lot of work, wasn't it? When you do it correctly, it's work, right? Okay, we're going to try it again. So your knees are bent, your hands are behind your head. Okay, and you're going to lift your head, you're going to lift your pelvis on the exhale, and you're going to stay there. And then you do take a breath in. So you can breathe in and exhale, and nothing changes with the workload. Your abdominals are hooked in. Now, you're going to rock a little bit. So what does that mean? That means you're going to lift the pelvis up a little higher, and the upper back lowers a little bit. Bringing 12 o'clock closer, then you're gonna lift 12 o'clock, rock through the center and lower 6 o'clock. And you're gonna do that two or three times, breathing, still having the abdominals are tense the whole time. And after two or three times, you let it go, straighten your legs and do a full rest. Okay. I know a lot of you are getting cramps, right? Means you're tight in your hips. And then let it go and rest. So I'm weaving in a couple things. One is to start learning, since we've been working with the abdominals, is to learn how the abdominals can kick in and that your breathing, your breath, is irrelevant to that. That you can breathe in and exhale, but the tone in the core is still there. So first, to engage the abdominals, you engage them on the exhale, but then you learn to inhale and exhale once they're engaged. Yes? Clear? Let's try it again. Please bend your knees again. Interlace your hands in the non-habitual way. Place them under your head, elbows up. Lift your head, lift your pelvis. On the exhale, find the center of the clock. Then take a breath in. Find that you can get your inhale and exhale regulated, and then start to bring weight up to 12 o'clock and then weight down to 6 o'clock. It's like this, another version of when I've taught the rocking horse. So you're rocking through this trunk area that we've been working, right? Beautiful, you guys. Beautiful. Excellent. Okay, and then let's let it go and rest. Legs long, arms by your side. And as you're resting, you're observing and noticing now your breath, your breathing, your rectangle and your circle. Rest. 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 Let it all go. Rest. Arms by your side. Okay, so I'm going to add something in because so many of you having some cramps here. Let's go ahead and roll over onto your stomach. And you can place your forehead on the back of your hands. Your legs are long. And then you're going to bend at your knees. So go ahead and bend at your knees so your feet are directed to the ceiling. Your knees are slightly spread apart comfortably. Okay, so the first thing is, I just want you to observe the space under your hips, where your hip bones are, right? So those of you that are getting cramps, you've got some space there. And to observe probably the leg that's cramping more, there's more space. So what you're going to do is you're going to push those hip bones, right, and this is like the bottom of your circle, 6 o'clock, into the floor to let your knees float up. So push the hips down and lift the knees. That's it. That's it. Beautiful. Push those hips down, push the belly. You want that whole area flat as it can be into the floor. And let both knees come up. Lift. Up. Lift those knees. Push the hips. Release those hip flexors, okay? If this is impossible for you, that's how tight your hip flexors are, okay? Now, let's try to lift your head at the same time and your arms if you want, or just your head. You can decide. It's usually easier to lift arms, head, and knees, everything. So now this means the whole front side of your belly, the hip bones, pubic bone, all the way up to your sternum, that whole center part of the clock on the front side pushes into the floor. Beautiful. Okay, let's let that go and roll back over onto your back. So again, if it's hard to lift the knees like that, right, it means that your glutes and your lower back aren't kicking in. And it means the hip flexors are too tight. So we'll see what that did for you. So let's bend your knees again. Bring your feet to standing. Get them in that good position where you're going to use them. Please bring your hands interlaced underneath your head again. Right? And so you're going to, on the exhale, you're going to lift your head. Feel the core kick in. Lift the pelvis. Keep them both lifted. Find the center. Find a way to breathe. And then start rocking from 12 o'clock to 6. And then ask yourself, beautiful Brigida, beautiful Lynn, is it easier? Does something get easier? Unbelievable, right? That's it. Beautiful, ladies. Nice. That's it, Jane. Excellent. Okay, rest. Look at how many you guys did. You guys did like double that time, right? Once you feel the core kick in, right, you're learning that you just can breathe naturally. Okay, so from here, let's dial in the clock, moving it down to your pelvis. Okay, so you know where the first clock is, right? The rectangle clock, the abdominal clock. So you're just going to move your clock down. Okay, so now 12 o'clock is now in the middle of your back. We're going to put the center of the clock where your tailbone is. And then 6 o'clock is somewhere out in space in between where your legs are. All right, so the clock extends beyond you a little bit. Okay, are we good? So 12 o'clock is up towards the lower back. Right in the center of your tailbone, and then the base of 6 o'clock goes a little bit beyond the space between your legs. Are we good? And we know where the sides of the clock are, 3 and 9. Bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. It'll be easier now to sense the clock. So probably is the weight right now is in the center. Close to the center? Excellent. So we're going to just, we've done this before, I'm just adding the clock in as a reference, right, as an imagery, where you've done the tilting of just your pelvis now. So if you bring the lower part of your back, you know, and towards the mid-back, all the way to the floor and slightly lift the tailbone. Don't lift the butt. The tailbone lifts, okay? That means in between your legs. Nope, Barb. Don't lift your buttock cheeks. Just think the tailbone. Okay? It's like a dog that's being whipped. They tuck the butt under, right? Just bring all the weight. That's enough right there. all the weight comes to the lower back, mid-back. It's 12 o'clock. And now come to sit on the tailbone, and that's coming towards 6 o'clock. So sitting on the tailbone is sitting in between that space between the buttocks cheeks. Sit on your tailbone. Barb, where are you? You are somewhere else. Sit. Sit on your tailbone. Come on.
I'm not getting it. Push me.
Sit. Don't move your legs. Do you know where your tailbone is? Where is your anus?
Right there.
Way down there. Sit on it. There.
Oh.
You're sitting on it now.
Oh, way down there.
Way down. Sit on your. I know. I don't mean to be so graphic, but your tailbone is close to your anus. Okay, where you're going to take a poop. Sit at that point. Your belly should be so big and arched forward. Okay, sit on the tailbone. Come to sit on the tailbone. You're going to feel, you'll even feel like your anus will want to open. The sphincters. It's okay, you guys. We all have one. Let's hope. You'd be in trouble if you didn't. Okay, now go the other way. Flatten up till 12 o'clock. These sphincters are really important. We should do a lesson on sphincters. So go from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Sit on the tailbone, but not that much, Lynn. Right? Just do it with the pelvis. And then flatten. There you guys go. But really, really try to sit on your tailbone. Right? Really take it down to the ground. So many people walk around in life as if they're a dog that's been whipped with the tail down, tucked under, like I've been a bad child my whole life. Right? This tucking their tail and pelvis under, dragging their butt. That's why people don't have butts. They drag their butt under. Right? There's an emotional component to this. It's an exposure. Right? That's it. Excellent. Let's pause for a minute. Lynn, I don't know if you can do the next movement, so if you don't want to do it, it's okay. Everybody else rest, because we're going to add it back in flipping over, okay? Legs long, rest. Okay, so for the sake of it, let's all come over, except for you, Lynn, to your hands and knees. So just roll over. Your head's towards the back of the room. Hands and knees. Elbows straight. You're going to do the same movement. So you still got the clock there. Right? It's just the description, I've described it differently, but you've all done this before. Right? So, your dog. Find your tailbone. Tuck it under. The back lifts, right? Now all your weight is towards 12 o'clock. Now, lift the tailbone, the very end, stick that tailbone way out into the world, right? You guys, it's an exposure, okay? I mean, it's important to understand this, right? It's a way you expose, but do you realize exposure also means to release? It's not good to be pulling your belly in, tucking your tail under. This is why people have so many intestinal issues. They hold everything in. That's it. Let that tailbone jet out to the world. That's when the sphincters open. It feels good. It feels relaxing, right? It's like we are so uptight in our gut. Beautiful. Now, you understand that's the same movement you're doing on your back. But really let that tailbone come up to the ceiling. You guys are doing this the best I've ever seen you do it. You know, it's so funny. We're the only mammal, roll onto your backs and rest. They get all weirded out about this, right? Like, it's all part of our lives. You know, Like, it's like horseback riding. You're riding a horse, and the horse in front of you has to take a poop, and his tail lifts up, and his spine arches, and he takes a poop. And the other horse's face is right in it, and nobody's, like, having a big to-do about it, right? Think about how all the mammals on the planet, right, do all this, right? And we're the only ones that make this private. It's interesting. Not like I'm suggesting we go out and do that, right? But, I mean, it's just... Huh?
Wrong teachings when we young.
Okay, now let's try it with our knees bent again. So, please bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and go from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Beautiful, Lynn. Yeah, just let that upper body be relaxed like that. Perfect. Look at how easy that is. Now you guys are getting it. Right, really sit on that tailbone. Because what that does is it's creating length in your back. It's creating length inside where your gut is. Helps things move around in there. Good. Now come to the center where the clock hands are, right? The center of the clock. Because now we're going to go to 3 o'clock. So I'm going to say go to 3 o'clock. I know my 3 o'clock's to the right, but some of you it might be to the left. But your legs have to stay standing. So your legs don't get a move. Your pelvis moves. So if your 3 o'clock is to the right, it means the right side sinks down and the left side lifts up. And come back to center. But remember, your knees stay towards the ceiling. It's not your legs. It's your pelvis moving. So let's go over to 3 o'clock and come back. Beautiful, Brigida. That's it, Lynn. And then the opposite side, right, is your 9 o'clock. So find 9 o'clock. And let's do 9 o'clock a few times. Remember, though, Jane, your knees stay towards the ceiling. You move your pelvis, not your legs. Your feet stay standing. Your knees do not tilt. Feel what your pelvis has to do. It doesn't have to be big. In fact, the smaller you make it, the better, so you can really stabilize your legs. It's like a teeter-totter. When one side comes slightly more up, the other side comes slightly down. Now, can you go from 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock and then back to 3. Just so gently. Be gentle with yourself. And for some of you, right, one side can lift higher than the other. So I'm going to ask you to do less with that side. I want you to match the side that can't lift as much. Just so beautiful, Barb. Just nice and easy. Back and forth. Right, so, and then this movement is involving what we worked with last week, right? The obliques. Remember how we were side sitting? Right? Preparing, right, for the side sitting with skiing? That movement that was hard? This is the beginning. This is the first movement of that bigger movement. Does it make a little sense, Barb? Okay. Excellent. Come back to center. And let's revisit 6 o'clock and 12 o'clock. And see if that's a little clearer, a little smoother. And with your breath and your breathing, it's just... natural, right? The movement is not connected to your breathing. You know, some people, oh, you inhale when you do this and you exhale. No. Whether you're lifting weights, whether you're swimming, you're running, your inhalation and exhalation just naturally occurs. And it changes based on the exertion. Beautiful. Okay, and let's take a rest again. How are we doing? Legs long, arms down by your side, and rest. Okay, so let's bend your knees again, your legs to stand. Thinking of the center of your clock, again down towards your lower back. We're working the pelvis. So you're going to bring weight up to the lower back, which is 12 o'clock. And then you're going to start to do small increments, working towards 3 o'clock. Right? But the first increment is 1 o'clock, just like a clock, right? We have 12 o'clock and 1. So you're going to go 12, 1, and back to 12. You're going to do that 3 or 4 times, and then you're going to do 12, 1, 2, 1, 12, 3 or 4 times. And then you're going to do 12, 1, 2, 3, and back to 12, right? So it becomes an arc. But don't rush it, because what you're going to discover is there's going to be a number, usually 1 or 2, that you can't quite get to, right? You kind of want to do a straight line instead of making a nice arc. And what most of us want to do is we just want to kind of skip past that, right? We always want to go to the places we know already how to move. Instead of slowing down to sense, huh, why do I want to rush through 1 o'clock and just get to 3? Yep. No, we're doing just down in the pelvis. 12 o'clock is where your lower back is, right? We're just doing the pelvic clock now, right? So 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock we just did. So if you start here as 12, 1 and 2 are somewhere over there, right? So it's really your job. I can see up here from a bird's eye view if you're rushing. I know if you're rushing. But what good does it do if I know if you're rushing? That does no good. Because I don't live in your body. Right?
I don't really get what the move is. Are you trying to move your pelvis?
You're moving your pelvis from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. That's it. But you're not lifting your pelvis. Right? Remember? Remember when we did 3 and 9? So if this is 3, that's 3. And then that's 12. So 1 is somewhere here.
Oh, okay.
2 is somewhere here. And then this is 3. And then you go 2, 1, here. It's also the outside edge of a pie. We're going to do pie dough, too. I made that one up. That's my favorite lesson. I made it up.
Okay, I had my 12 and 6 mixed up.
So you're not doing anything with the upper body right now. It's just hanging out. But really make that arc from 12, 1, 2, 3, and back smooth. And it's really critical to find out, why do you want to skip a number? Why are you in a rush there? It doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. It's information about some piece, whatever number you rush through, is a part of you that you haven't been utilizing. And this is an opportunity to wake it up. Excellent. Now let's try the other side, right? So let's now try to do 12, 11, 10, and 9. But again, there's no hurry, so you go 12 to 11, 2 or 3 times, then 12, 11, 10, a couple times. And it may be on this side that you leave out a number. Maybe you didn't leave out a number on the other side. Right? It's fascinating to feel and sense which side do you want to hop? You want to skip, right? You want to draw a straight line. You just want to go right over to 9, right? So you got to go slow. And the reason for skipping these numbers are due to accidents and injuries. When you injure a part, you shut down, you stop moving there, and you just skip over it until you take the time to wake it up again. Now, I don't want to rush you too much, but can you make a half of an arc now? So now you could go from, let's say, 9, back up to 12, over to 3. So it's like an upper arc. It's like the crest of a moon, right? You're just doing the upper arc, right? And you really need to keep this in an arc. Wherever you want to start doing straight lines, it's no good. Every number counts and has meaning in your body. Right? And this is working with that area last week, right? About separating, Lynn, right? The lower ribs from the pelvis. You were here last week. Beautiful, Brigida. Excellent, you guys. Okay, let's take a rest. Let's lengthen your legs. That was a lot of work, huh?
Can you see where the pelvis helps you separate the ribs from your pelvis?
Because you're moving your pelvis.
So you're not supposed to be thinking about your ribs at all.
So what happens a lot in a lesson, it's a good question. So I'm indicating to you and I'm instructing you to move your pelvis. And what you experience from the movement of the pelvis, right, it's a ripple effect, is that you feel the ribs move. There's change between the two sides. The change occurs because of the pelvis moving, not because you're doing a movement in the rib cage. Does that make sense to everyone? So it's important to feel the ripple effect, right? It's like when you just tilt the pelvis, the ripple effect is the movement all the way up to the head and neck. But you're not being asked to move the head and the neck, right? Because everything's connected. That's why it's crazy making when they say in a workout, oh, only work this muscle group. You never are working just one muscle group. It's completely impossible. Now you can focus on a muscle group, but you can never eliminate other groups from working. It's just where you draw your attention, right? The focal point. Are we good? Okay, let's come up again, bend the knees, bring your feet to standing, and we're now gonna do the bottom part of the clock. So this is gonna make sense. So you're gonna be bringing weight to the tailbone. Means you have an arch in the lower back, so that's 6 o'clock, right? You're sitting on the tailbone. And you're gonna go from 6 to 5. Now again, in my clock, that's to the right, but if for you, it's to the left. I'm gonna leave out lefts and rights. You're gonna go from 6 to 5, 2 or 3 times. 6, 5, 4, 2 or 3 times. 6, 5, 4, 3. Right, so it's really tricky. Now for myself, that's my hardest part of the clock. I can do the upper, but I really like to skip over 4 and 5. Those are really difficult area for me. So these are what you, this is what you notice for yourself. And it doesn't even matter why right now, it's just that you're patient and you take the time to make sure you tap into those numbers. 6, 5, 4, three, four, five, six, right? We're doing a quarter of a pie. It's good to think of pies since we're probably all gonna have pies tomorrow. Maybe not a quarter, or maybe an eighth of three different ones, right? Beautiful. Now, do you want to explore 6, 7, 8, 9, right? So you go 6 to 7 first a few times, then 6, 7, 8 a few times. And it is, it's really fascinating what starts to happen with your clock. What part of the clock is really been out in la-la land, right? It just, it's like you're numb over there. And you're starting to bring a new awareness, waking up this type of movement. And it's these small increments, the different numbers on the clock, that are critical for everyday life moving, whether it's getting in your car, getting out of a chair, walking, bending, twisting, carrying. Forget the sports, just your daily life. And now can you do the whole bottom part of the arc? So from 9, 6 to 3. Right, not to be in a hurry. I'm just giving you a lot of time to be patient with yourself, to explore, just connect. It's like connecting the dots, but it's in an arc now. And as Lynn beautifully brought up, as you're focusing on this bottom of the arc, right, you're feeling and sensing your whole torso twisting and moving. The ribs are moving, not because you're asking them to, because they're connected. Your spine is connected to your pelvis, right? And even your head moves some, right? So you feel all that ripple effect. Good. Let's pause, lengthen your legs, and rest. Okay, so let's bend your knees again. Get your clock in place, because now we're going to make a full circle. Right? We're going to start clockwise. I like going that way first. So just think you're going to do 12 to 3, 3 down to 6, 6 over to 9, and 9 back up to 12. There is no hurry. Again, what is so important? Now that you're doing the whole clock, this is when we really want to kind of cheat, right? The tendency is to rush and leave out those numbers that you just kind of brought into your world, So really take your time. Feel your breath and breathing just being easy and relaxed. If there is any tension, can you let it go? So, another thing to just bring into your awareness as you're doing this, which Lynn brought up so beautifully, right, is the amount of movement that's happening, right, with your ribs, your trunk, right, your spine. So you get to feel and sense that. And what's also important to realize is why that movement wouldn't be there. So does it make sense that if you stop moving your pelvis, you stop moving the whole trunk? And vice versa. Now, can you change the direction of the clock? So let's go 12, 9, 6, and 3. So I'm going to make a huge leap here and say the freer your clock is, the freer your life is. So having a free clock is having also a free life. There's a lot of vulnerability here when you create this much movement for yourself. Things are moving. You can't control them. You can't hold on, can you, Lynn? You're just letting it go, right? So what happens when we let go? Well, we get scared, right? We think we need to control. We need to hold things quiet and steady. Right? And maybe you can just let it go. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. Pretty much.
That's for sure.
Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, I mean, look at my blending yesterday, right? Go figure the day or 2 days before that it's a Black and Decker that I've had at least 30 years would die. But what a gift that I would get the last one for $15 at Bed Bath & Beyond, right? Like, it didn't stress me at all. And then it was really funny, too, because I went to three neighbors, and they all have the big KitchenAid $300 thing, and I wasn't going to, you know, take one of those. I'm afraid of breaking one of those. It's just all how you look at it. It's one's lens of life. This is your lens right here. Beautiful. And let it go and rest. Yes. So do you feel more open now? Right? Right? But open creates vulnerability too, right? So, you know, I kind of pick this. It's a vulnerable time right now. Holidays are vulnerable. Family members, other family members, right? Spouses, siblings, tons of stuff right now. And we can either choose to shut down and think we're in control when we're really not, right? Or you could choose to be open and vulnerable and kind of just, kind of like the wind, you know, just let things come up. And they can just blow through you and blow over. And it's really interesting to play with being able to stay open during a vulnerable period of time. So take a moment to sense your openness, sense your vulnerability, sense what that means. Maybe think about letting somebody else have their way or be in control. Like, what's the harm in that? We're so funny, aren't we? We're so peculiar. Sense your breath and your breathing. How nice and open that feels. Right? And also what's really fabulous and lovely that comes with being vulnerable and open is a sense of calmness and peacefulness. I think when we're in a state of wanting to be in charge and control, we're pretty uptight. Things are rigid. So, throughout this holiday weekend, if there's moments where things are feeling maybe stressful or feeling a little uptight, you can find a moment to hit the floor and work with your pelvic clock a little bit. And I promise you, it will completely change your state of being. And you can see how that is for yourself. Okay, as you're ready, you're going to roll to your side, come to sitting, and then eventually standing to see how you feel in standing.